now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Laura Lanamy. On today, I'm back, baby. On today's show is Brighton Fringe this month, and Steffi talks to the organiser and chair, Duncan.
And Bristol-based comedian and winner of the fourth series of Queer Revision, Sam Cook, chats the lovely Ez.
Ooh, all on today.
Right here on Shout Out. Oh my God, you can tell she's back. Every week I pull that down so that we wait for someone to do it, to keep you happy.
Thank you.
And no one does it. And then I'm like, Lara's shouting at you from afar.
Yeah, I like the fact that there's a Lara-sized chasm in the script. Like, I like how I am so, like, I've made my mark so much. You can't move on without me. And I respect it.
How are you? We haven't had you on for a while, have we?
Yeah, no, I know. People, I've been doing things and
I know.
People.
You're very, very busy. I see you all over like social and LinkedIn especially. Yeah. I see you a lot on LinkedIn.
Yeah, like running my business, like it's been really fun. Like we're just starting to do our work experience weeks for summer and get, like onboarding like new staff. So I'm really like loving that. And I can't wait to see the students that we get this year. So we're working with GKN Aerospace and the various others. So yeah, I'm amazing. Really excited about that.
Well, it's lovely to have you back though.
Thank
as
you.
As always.
Thank you. Yeah, no, like it's been so refreshing. Finally seeing the sun. Like,
oh gosh, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a bank holiday, a complete disappointment.
Oh God.
And then we got to Tuesday and it's like, oh, there is a thing called sunshine.
Honestly, so me and my best friend went to Clevedon. And we went to like a nice little restaurant by the side. I mean, did I overpay for the meal? Yes, absolutely. I had pork belly and it did not slap. But it was great. It was vibes. And I did the punching
machine. It did not slap.
It did not slap. This is what the youth call not bang, okay. Which is also saying it did not taste as amazing.
It wasn't safe.
It wasn't.
Cleveland.
It was Cleveland.
Yeah, it was. It was like whiter than white, like the food. So, you know.
New flavour, new spice.
Literally, like it looked like it would be seasoned with thoughts and prayers. That's what it. That's
amen.
Like amen. Literally, like sometimes you have to let go and let God. You know what I mean? So that's apparently what they did. So yeah, like, and it was really nice though because we tried to do this punching machine, and I failed at the start. Like I gave, so I was like 200. I was like, that is abysmal.
Well, at least you hit it. If you go on YouTube and search for it, the number of people who swing for it completely miss.
Oh, I was so scared that I wasn't going to hit and I was going to fall face forward. So I was just like, I know I have nails, so like I was worried I'd like impale myself. I'm such a punchy person.
For the listeners, when she says she has nails, she really means talons. She has nails. They're like half as long as
they
your
finger. They are weapons, my ladies and gentlemen and babies. They are weapons. How are you, Andy?
I'm good.
Yeah, yes, what are you been up to? Is that a salmon shirt?
It's a brand new shirt. Yeah.
Oh, it's lush. Yeah.
Especially if you look, we're actually matching almost.
I mean,
sort of, yeah.
Kind of. Yeah, okay, let's go. We're almost matching.
We're on the radio, they wouldn't know.
No. We need a video. We need a video input so people can actually see our delicious
I spent 2 hours doing my hair for you before I came.
Thank you. I can really tell. It looks so luxurious. How are you, Tara? And
I'm all right.
Yeah, how have you been?
Surviving.
Oh yeah.
But the weather is improving. Even today it's like,
oh, it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah. And my son passed his driving test.
Oh, woo!
You must come more often. This is the quietest I've ever known Ez.
Oh, well,
she hasn't said a word yet.
And I couldn't hear myself.
Oh, can't you?
So I just thought, you know, I'll wait until you're all ready.
Oh, sorry. Hang on.
Yeah.
Ez minute. Hang
Thank
on.
You. Thank you. How are you? I'm really well, thanks. Yeah. Everything's really busy. I'm working my two jobs, living my best life, playing my Switch, annoying stuff, you know.
Naturally.
Yeah, got a quiz to be coming up in a couple of weeks, which Andy reminded me of, so I'll be writing that probably this
week. We're going to have a mad, fabulous shout out.
We are.
Ooh, yes. I love that. Because I don't think one quiz a year is enough. Like one quiz a year at Christmas.
It's not a quiz.
What is it?
Queerstory. Yeah, I mean, I can do another queer quiz.
I would love a queer quiz.
A queer quiz based on Queerstory.
Well, I tell you what, have a think about it because we're already 2 minutes
over.
We'll come back and talk about it. In the meantime, this is Steph catching up with the lovely Duncan. Have a listen to this.
Right, Brighton Fringe is running all this month, dear listeners, and a great lineup of comedy, theatre and dance. It's 21 years now that it's been running. I'm joined by Chair Duncan Lustig-Preen. I hope I pronounced that correctly, Duncan.
Boss on, Steffi.
Thank you, thank you. Right, now, you've got a very interesting career, so let's go right back when you were growing up and all that. What got you to where you are now?
My goodness, it's been a very convoluted journey. I grew up on the Isle of Wight, which is like going back to the 1950s, full of charm, but growing up as a gay kid was pretty difficult in the 60s. But I had a knack for music, and so went off to music college and trained as an opera singer. And although I did a bit of semi-professional work, actually what I did was to go to the Royal Navy and join the Royal Navy. I did perform quite often. I worked with the Royal Marines Band in concerts and many shows around the country. But I was a naval officer until the fateful day in 1994 when a blackmailer approached me because of my sexuality, and I declined his kind offer of taking money off him, told him where to go, reported it to the military police, and was eventually dismissed from the service because of my sexuality. I, as a member of Rank Outsiders, which supported the LGBTQ community in those days in the armed forces, led the campaign to change the law and was one of the four test cases that went to Europe. And eventually we had the ban lifted in the year 2000. And since then, I've been working in a variety of areas, always still looking after LGBT veterans and also people who are still serving. And I've watched the armed forces change in front of my eyes for the better, becoming a model employer for our communities, which is wonderful to see so quickly, really, after what was going on in the 1990s, which was quite cruel and, frankly, inhumane. They've really changed. So it is a natural progression for me in retirement to work voluntarily for Brighton Fringe as chair, steeped in the performing arts in every single genre, working with an amazing small staff team and getting to enjoy along with our audiences this huge event that happens every May.
That sounds really upsetting, the bit in the military, and especially that must have been so hurtful for somebody to come and try and pull the rug from under you, like they did.
Well, I had discovered shortly after I'd begun my training and went to the fleet that as a gay person, I was illegal. I thought that the policy when I joined was about sexual activity in the workplace. We didn't have women serving in the front line in those days or on board ships. And so if you were going to have sex, it would be gay sex. And I thought it was quite appropriate that in that sort of metal monastery of a ship that you kept your personal life well away from your professional life. So I thought it was a conduct-based rule. And I was really staggered to find when one of my own sailors was arrested and interviewed, who happened to be a virgin, and he was arrested and interviewed solely because he talked to a friend in the mess and said, "I think I might be gay, what should I do?" And the friend had reported that conversation, and he was then arrested, interviewed for 3 days, really horrible interrogation, and then ultimately dismissed because of his sexuality. So it was a state of mind that you were dismissed for. You didn't actually have to have sex to be thrown out.
Mm. I think our listeners would be quite shocked at that, actually, because I think most people think, you know, in those days when you could be dismissed from the forces for being gay, that people were actually practicing. But actually, to just have thoughts and still be dismissed is quite shocking.
Yeah, it really was. And the majority of people who were thrown out, in my experience, of caring for people and indeed running personal issues for the Royal Navy, it was very, very rare that there was sexual misconduct of any kind. And this was not a let live policy. The military police were absolutely intent on finding out people. They would stake out gay bars. They would hang around cruising areas. They would intercept mail and telephone calls. This was a policy of really finding out people. And the most common question at police interview was, who else in the services do you know? They were always after names.
That's brutal, really brutal. But Duncan, you've come through it and you've done some wonderful things for the LGBTQ community, and you're doing one now, and Brighton Fringe is in its 21st year. So tell me exactly what's happening now with your life.
Well, this is my final year, my fourth and final year as chair of Brighton Fringe. As a volunteer, it's right that I hand over this train set to somebody else. It's not my train set. It belongs to our artists and our audiences. And so it's been wonderful. This year, 840 individual acts, 4,700 performances spread across 167 venues. And that's in every genre of the performing arts, from opera to dance, cabaret, variety, physical circus, lots of stuff for young people as well. The great thing about the Fringe, and I'd had a count up for our starting weekend, the bank holiday weekend, there are 35 free shows available or events for people to come to. So it is affordable. Even if you pay for a ticket, the average ticket price is just over £10. And look out for the PYW symbol in our brochure and online when you book, because that means it's pay what you want. So it can be affordable. Good entertainment, great value.
Oh, that's incredible, Duncan. The literal number of events and venues that you have, is this bigger than Edinburgh Fringe?
Oh, no, nothing is bigger than Edinburgh. But we are certainly a very significant player in the international arts scene. We have artists coming from Australia, from America, Nigeria, all over Europe. This is really on the international map and are considered a vital part of the cultural ecosystem, both nationally and internationally. And I think, I mean, listeners are going to be interested that 35% of our performers or content are from the LGBTQ plus community. That's hardly surprising, being Brighton, where 30% of our acts are from Brighton. But it's nice to see that queer people have the confidence to express themselves on stage. And it's really great for education for people.
There's always been a lot of talent, and we do a lot of interviews. Shoutout's been going for 15 years this year, and it never ceases to amaze me the absolute talent that is out there, whether movie directors, actors, singer-songwriters, painters, and theatre performers. It's just incredible, and I'm glad that you're giving space to the queer community, and have been since it started.
Yeah, it's absolutely vital that we do, and I think that at the end of the day, the arts are political. They say something which very often political parties don't like to hear. And there are particular communities within our communities who frankly are under threat with very few political supporters. So it is great, for example, to highlight the trans and non-binary communities in work that is put on, because it's really important that we get messages out. There are also some great acts. I was looking up a few acts for you. Dr. Jimmy Lyons, who's a doctor of, would you believe, quantum physics, who is hilarious. I've seen him. He's appearing at the Actors. There's lots of great stuff at the Actors, one of the LGBT venues. Ironworks Studios, Unidentified Fluid, which is Hegelian and DeMars. That's a great show. Willow in Looking Fab at 50. Well, that's something for every gay man of a certain age, isn't it? Laughing Horse is putting on quite a lot of queer comedy as well. So, you know, there are loads and loads of shows. All you need to do, actually, is to go online, do a search, and use the search engine and type in LGBT or gay, and those related shows will come up for you.
Right. So what is the website for Brighton Fringe? And so people can have a look to see what is on, what tickets are available and where. And if you can't afford it, because things are tough for a lot of people out there, you can actually search for those free events. Duncan.
Yep. So you type in brightonfringe.org, brightonfringe, all one word, .org. And on that home screen, it will come up immediately and say, what's on? Click that button and it will take you through. Now, with 840 shows, that's quite a big search. You can, as I've mentioned, use the search engine to help. If you find that a bit too much, and a lot of people find looking through 840 shows online quite difficult, pick up a brochure from one of the libraries in the city or from our box office. Our box office is at Spiegel Gardens. It's facing the Royal Pavilion on the corner next to Church Street. And our team there will be delighted to talk you through and tailor to your needs, frankly, and advise you what tickets to buy if you like the personal touch.
Right, Duncan, now before we get on to your socials, what have you got planned? Now, you say this is your last year, and it sounds like a lot of hard work putting this together, and I'm guessing you've got a team around you that you can rely on. But what's next for you, Duncan?
Well, I still chair a small charity which looks after LGBT veterans, and we're concerned with their mental health and well-being. You can imagine that the experience of losing your career, your pension, your home very often, and often your family in the process, and going through some of the interrogations that they endured, which in many cases included forced medical examinations as well to prove their sexuality. There is a residue even after all these years of harm, and people need to be helped to recover. So that's what my charity does. Other things for me, well, I've got my own show in the Fringe this year. I'm doing a fundraiser for the Fringe, and that's an In Conversation with me, with the gay BBC4 presenter that was Nigel Wrench, and he will be interviewing me in a very sort of relaxed way, talking about my career, talking about work in gay rights, talking about how I made Margaret Thatcher laugh. I'm sure he'll ask that question. And you're very welcome to come to that. That's the 8th and 9th of May in the Lantern Theatre at 7 p.m. And I'm hoping to go and do a bit of touring around with that show, because it's important that people remember their history in our community. We had a wonderful period in the early turn of the century where everything seemed to be going our way. Everyone's rights seemed to be protected and enshrined in law. But we only have to look at what's happened over the last few years with judgments in the Supreme Court and reversals in politicians' attitudes to see how quickly that can be reversed. And it doesn't stop with just one part of our community, it always goes further historically. So knowing what your history is and protecting the future by learning from that history is vital.
That's so important, Duncan. And I'm really hoping that you can share some of that with us as we go forward. And also the work that you are going to do after the Brighton Fringe, and you have been doing. So Shout Out would love to have you back for a more in-depth conversation, because it sounds like you've had quite a painful sometimes, but quite an interesting life. Now, before we go, Duncan, let's have your socials.
Well, you can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and of course on the website as well. If you want to get daily lists of performances, you can sign up on there and you'll get a list by day. And that will also give you access to any low-cost tickets that come up, because very often artists, if they're not selling the performance as well, will release tickets. So those are the ways to do that. But do pop in and see us at the box office. The team there would love to help you.
Duncan Lustig-Preen, thank you so much for joining us and giving up your very valuable time for Shout Out.
It's been a pleasure, Steffi. Thanks very much.
Shout Out.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Madonna and Sabrina Carpenter.
I actually love that.
It's okay. It's called Bring Your Love.
It's okay.
Well, it's a bit.
It's very it's very girl pop.
Yeah, yeah. But that's from Madonna's new album that's coming out. I put it on the script actually. It's coming out. Oh no, I didn't. I forgot to update it. It's coming out in July anyway. June, July.
Cool. I mean, she's very much she's like one of those people who just never stop going. Like, and I respect Like, she's she just reinvents herself like quite a lot. And she's like, wow, she's back again.
She is
and
the
like,
queen of reinvention.
She is the queen of reinvention. She is.
She's also the queen of the gays. The boys' magazine, which is a newspaper, used to refer to her as. Not Madonna, but our glorious leader.
To be fair, she was an icon, and she still remains an icon.
I don't know if it was it Sabrina Carpenter. She appeared on stage with someone recently, and they didn't know it was going to be her, and then they sang a duet together.
Probably.
Wow.
She didn't know it was Madonna. Or they didn't know it was Sabrina.
They
Carpenter?
Didn't know Madonna was going to be on the stage, and she appeared and did a duet with them. There'd be people screaming
can you
at the radio
just being
now.
Stood on the stage, and then Madonna walks up. And be like,
to me, for me, that would be Beyonce. Like, I don't even like Beyonce, but I would have
that needs to be a snippet.
I would have
I don't even like Beyonce.
No, I don't. But like, but I would have a frog
Queen
in
Bee
my
came
throat.
On.
I would literally collapse on the spot. Like, just because, just any association with that queen of a woman, I could not like someone, but can respect her queen.
That's right.
We've had that happen with Shout Out. Ollie from Bar Sound, who always take they take this show as well, but they also simulcast it when we're at Pride. He came a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, and he was doing a slot with me, you know, the way we change presenters around. I can't remember who it was, but it was his absolute idol, and he didn't know that they were there.
She sat down
and I realised at the end he hadn't said a word, and he was literally there just paralysed,
when you've had posters of people on your wall and then they're sat next to you having a chat.
Would be like Michelle Obama for me.
I had that last year with Ultra Latte because I was a huge fan of her when I came out in 96, 97, and of course Free was a big hit.
I cannot believe I missed that. I'm praying to the gods that Darren brings her back at some point in this.
She's lovely.
Really nice.
Anyway, we're running really over. Should we get some news headlines?
Okay.
This is Shout Out News. Welcome along.
A man remains in critical condition after what police are treating as a suspected homophobic hate crime in Bristol city centre. The victim, who is in his 30s, was discovered unconscious in St Nicholas Street during the early hours of Wednesday the 24th of April. Avon and Somerset police confirmed that he had sustained serious injuries to his face. He was rushed to hospital where his condition initially worsened, although it is now described as critical but stable. A second man was also hurt during the same incident, but his injuries are understood to be minor. Police believe the attack involved 3 or 4 individuals who are thought to have initially fled the scene on foot before later entering a vehicle. The assault took place at approximately 3:15 a.m. British summertime. Officials are now appealing for witnesses, particularly anyone who was in the vicinity at the time, to come forward with information that could assist the investigation. One suspect is believed to have been wearing a blue jacket at the time of the attack, whilst two others were reportedly dressed mainly in black or grey. According to a police spokesperson, details provided by the second victim have led officers to explore whether the assault was motivated by homophobia. Neighbourhood Chief Inspector Keith Smith confirmed that police have already contacted local LGBTQ+ leaders and representatives from Stand Against Racism and Equality, that's SARI, to inform them of the incident. Our priority is to identify those responsible as quickly as possible, he said. At this stage, there is no evidence to suggest there is any wider threat to the public.
Same-sex relations are illegal in Saudi Arabia with punishments governed by Sharia law. According to Human Rights Watch, certain interpretations can include the death sentence, 100 blows of the whip, or banishment for 1 year. But one woman, Al Hussein, has escaped the country, according to the Daily Mirror, and is beginning to establish a life for herself after being granted asylum in the UK. Al Hussein was informed by her mother at the age of 16 that she had been reserved for an arranged marriage to a 40-year-old male cousin. I didn't say a thing to anyone in my family about my plans. As soon as I got on the plane, I breathed a sigh of relief. I couldn't even feel my legs from the adrenaline and nerves. The minute I arrived in London, I burst into tears, and the tears didn't stop when I went to an airport officer and said I needed to apply for asylum. At one point during my initial interview that day, the officer said, "I promise you're safe," but I just couldn't stop crying, she added. Al Hussein has settled in the capital and has a girlfriend who has taught her the art of dance music DJing, so much so that Al has taken up DJing at several clubs. "I couldn't be happier," Al said. "I can truly be myself, and I've also found a community that I feel safe in."
The country's largest HIV and sexual health charity, Terence Higgins Trust, which was forged out of the gay community in the 80s, reports on promising trials on treatments for syphilis. Doxycycline, a post-exposure prophylaxis in Seattle, has been linked to a halving of syphilis diagnoses overall and a reduction of cases by a third in transgender people. Despite very low uptake, women also experience a significant drop in syphilis cases, likely partly explained by reduced syphilis transmission within the communities where DoxyPep is being used. In a study published in the Journal of Clinical Infectious Diseases, Dr. Timothy Menza and colleagues from Public Health in Seattle and the University of Washington added that more population level evidence suggesting that the use of DoxyPep can significantly lower syphilis diagnoses. They estimate that DoxyPep use was associated with 52% fewer syphilis cases overall, with reductions of 53% in men, 47% in women, and 33% in trans and non-binary people. DoxyPep contains a single antibiotic called doxycycline, dosed at 200 milligrams once within 72 hours after condomless sex. The antibiotic helps prevent some of the major sexually transmitted bacterial infections, including syphilis, chlamydia, and to a lesser extent, gonorrhea. It is mainly offered to sexually active gay and bisexual men and trans people who are at a higher risk of infection. However, whilst it has been effective at reducing the burden of syphilis in areas where implemented, it is not fail-proof, and it's possible that not taking it in time may be one of the reasons for failure. The Centre for Diseases Control and Prevention, the CDC, defines in time as within 72 hours after risky exposure. However, the bacteria may already be spreading in the body within the first 24 hours. Even though doxycycline may still reach levels high enough to fight the bacterium, a single dose, especially if taken a little late, may not be able to completely rid the body of all the syphilis bacteria.
And finally, it is local election day for many parts of England, as well as the Scottish Parliament and the Welsh Senedd. Polling is not taking place at Bristol authorities this year, but if you are in an area where it is, then you have until 10 p.m. this evening to cast your vote. These elections are very important in predicting the next few years of LGBTQI+ human rights and politics in the UK, so we shall be examining them in detail over the next few weeks. If you'd like to see the results come in, then BBC News and Sky News will be carrying live coverage from 10:30 this evening, with radio channels BBC Radio 5 Live, LBC and Times Radio also transmitting results as they are announced. So get a bottle of organic wine open and enjoy the spectacle.
And that's especially if you're listening on Thursday. The polling day is Thursday. You may be listening on one of the later broadcasts of Shout Out. So that's a summary of the news for this week. We are back next week with more. In the meantime, stay connected with community media. Why not check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shout Out News, this has been Ezra Peregrine
and Terry Starr.
Shout Out News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Don't you just love people that can make us all laugh, especially in the current climate of politics and wars that are spreading around the world? So let's become a little bit lighthearted on Shout Out Radio.
Hello, Sam.
Hi.
Hiya, welcome to Shout Out.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. How did you get into doing what you are doing right now?
Yes, so I'm performing open mic, new material comedy around Bristol and a bit further afield as well, where I can get around. But I started out last January. I saw a poster for a comedy course. It was 2 hours. I had nothing on. And I thought, I'm going to have a go. Don't know if it's going to go to anything or if I'm going to enjoy it. I think I wrote 2 jokes in that and then was like, okay, I actually want to do this. Booked my first open mic, went along to Comedy Night in Bath, and the host was just like, yeah, come on, come and perform. I wasn't expecting it straight away, but I did it. I loved it. I booked 2 gigs off the back of that, and that's been my life for the last 15 months.
Wow, so that one decision has led to so much more. Did you think a few years ago that comedy was something you'd like to get into?
No, I always tried to be funny as a kind of way to sort of like make friends, meet people, because otherwise I kind of think I'm a bit boring. But no, I didn't expect it at all. But as soon as I sort of got on stage and got my first laughs and knew that I was doing something that resonated with people, I really got into it and it's become a bit of an obsession.
Can you remember your first 2 jokes?
I hope these are okay for radio. So my first one was nuts put me in hospital and bananas make me vomit. And I do think that makes me the worst gay man in Bristol.
Well, that made us laugh.
Good. But my favourite one that I've written is, so I do talk a lot about the fact that I've got allergies, because I think it's something that people don't really talk about and don't really know much about. And also the kind of tragic comedy is ripe for the picking. But my second one is that I am also gluten-free. And the worst thing about that is that I can't have Kit Kats because I haven't had a break in years.
The first bit was funny enough because having allergies isn't fun, but funny. No.
Oh yeah, it's the bit I'm really focusing on at the moment because I can get some outrageous laughs from people by being the gay guy with allergies. It's funny.
And do you think that is what comedy is drawing on your own experiences in that sort of self-deprecating way on a level and then relating to people in the crowd?
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely self-deprecating in my humour. We probably don't have time to go into all the reasons why that is. But we have
a minute if you want.
just insecurities. I talk a lot about loneliness and how when I moved to Bristol, I really struggled to meet people, make friends, and how that really affected me. And by getting involved in things like doing comedy, I'm part of the Bristol Swifts, the local LGBT+ badminton club. And talking about the sort of journey that I've been on is something that I've really enjoyed. I get a lot of pity to start off with, so I'm kind of working out how to take that pity and turn it into the laughter. But it is something that is really resonating with people, and I think particularly LGBT+ audiences, where a lot of us have gone through similar things in different ways. I think it is something that,
absolutely,
really important to talk about.
So important. Did you feel lonely growing up?
Yeah, I definitely struggled sort of making friends and knowing how to not just meet people, but maintain those friendships. And I think it's only when I started hitting, I think it was about 29, 30, that I started working out, okay, this is how I stay in touch with people and do things and like maintain that friendship and be more real with the people in my life than just kind of surface level, which when I was trying to sort of bond with people over being funny, that wasn't quite working. But now adding in that authenticity is definitely helping.
It sounds like there's sort of a connection within the comedy scene or within the creative industry that is something that you didn't know you needed, but it's brought quite a lot to you and your life.
Yeah, definitely. There's loads of people from all around the world, all different walks of life, performing, living. In Bristol, especially, the comedy scene, the like grassroots comedy scene, is thriving in Bristol. It's one of the best places in the UK to be starting out on comedy, and particularly queer audience, queer acts. We've got such a richness of LGBT plus new comedians that are coming through at the moment, which I'm loving getting to meet, getting to know, getting to support. It's something that I've really felt has been really special in the local area.
I didn't actually know that Bristol was sort of one of the hubs for comedy and for queer comedy. That's really interesting. I think the listeners, it'd be really interesting for them to know that there are those spaces as well where they can, you know, for LGBTQI plus people who maybe actually want a safe space, but also an uplifting space, to know that there is that stuff going on in the city.
Yeah, definitely. There's so many open mic nights, new material nights. These are the nights where basically anyone can get up, have a go at 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It can be an absolute disaster, but you know it's a safe space. And one of the things that I've really enjoyed is that sometimes comedy can feel like a terrifying place. You are bearing your soul, but there are loads of local venues, local promoters, people who are organizing their own nights that are both really supportive and really keen to hear from different people who are different to themselves. We have venues that are really supportive of just getting as many people involved in comedy as possible. We've got a really exciting community of trans comics who are doing amazing things, award-winning, going up to Edinburgh, touring at the moment. There's some really cool people that are doing comedy, and a lot of people are really supportive of that.
Fantastic. And that sort of brings me to ask what is coming up for you, because you mentioned not that long ago that it was going into, was it a 2-day comedy course that you did?
No, it was a 2-hour one.
Oh, two-hour. Okay, yeah, a little bit different.
It was very quick, very brief, and I came out of it with that confidence to go out and do comedy.
And has that then spurred you on to wanting to go into that space with other people?
Yeah, definitely. One of the things, I was just chatting to my friend who runs a bar in town, and we were like, let's put on a comedy night. It's in Seamus O'Donnell's. We're coming up to our 1-year anniversary of running this monthly night, and it's all about sort of platforming new and emerging queer artists. We've had all sorts of different comedians come in, alternative comedy, drag comedy, just your traditional stand-up, amazing people from all across the Southwest and South Wales. And it's been a really special thing that's like really building up as a community of comics.
Sam, do you ever get hecklers?
The odd one. I had a rather rowdy gig just outside of Weston-super-Mare on Saturday where somebody was a little bit enthusiastic, but I try not to sort of engage too much, maybe a little put down. But I think particularly in Bristol, it is something that we don't get that many hecklers. We've got some amazingly talented MCs who know how to manage a crowd, to work with people, and make them feel really comfortable, but also setting those rules of when the acts are on stage is their time. If they talk to you, you can talk back, but otherwise listen, enjoy, laugh along and hear what they've got to say.
That sounds really positive. One thing that I always found quite difficult when seeing live comedy was hecklers. And I know that that is sort of the understanding of, or was the understanding of going into those spaces, but I've always preferred it when it just doesn't happen and people just enjoy it, sit back, laugh and relate.
Yeah, definitely in Bristol, the audiences are really kind. You get the odd comment where people are reacting to a joke, but that's something that I enjoy to play off of. And that sort of makes it more special in the moment, because then you know, as an audience, you're getting something that's live, it's real, it's immediate. Yeah, but yeah, the hecklers, they're not very common or very mean in Bristol, which is nice.
Good. And so could you tell us what is coming up for you over the next few months?
Awesome. So yeah, as I said, we will be hosting our 1 year anniversary night at Stand Up at Seamus's. So that's on the 20th of May. It is a free entry, new material night for new and emerging comics. We've got currently got people booked on the upcoming lineups for the next few months. People who are going up to Edinburgh, who've appeared on BBC Radio 4. We've got people who've won competitions and awards over the past 12 months coming along. So it's a really exciting place. As I said, free entry as well. So you're not going to lose anything if you just pop in to see what's going on. But also I'm going up to Liverpool on the 16th of May for a gig at the Hot Water Comedy Club, which is like one of the big comedy clubs in the UK. Last year I won a competition and my prize was to perform at this venue, which is going to be amazing. And then yeah, just I'm working on new material at the moment. I'm slowly building up to writing a 1 hour show, which is taking months and months and months, but I'm really enjoying sort of building up different bits. So it's a lot of going around testing out that material and seeing how it goes.
It all sounds really exciting. And how do the listeners find out more? Where can they find you online? And yeah, just so that they can see the dates and see what's coming up and you know, get involved.
Awesome. So yeah, I post a lot of stuff, including my upcoming gigs on my Instagram at Sam Cook Comedy. That's Cook without an E, as my mum would call me forever as a kid. It's Sam Cook without an E.
Is that your full name, Sam Cook without an E?
Yeah, I thought we were double barreled. but yeah, Sam Cook Comedy on Instagram. I post all sorts of stuff on there. And then otherwise, yeah, there's loads of really amazing comedy nights, comics around in Bristol. So if you do enjoy live comedy, just go out there and explore. I'm happy to point you in the direction of any nights that you think that people will be interested in as well on social media. So.
Thank you so much, Sam. I think it's an amazing journey that you've been on and could, you know, really inspire some people who are listening, who might still feel lonely and isolated, you know, wherever that may be, Bristol, Bath, some little village somewhere, who's thinking, do you know what, maybe this is my way in. Maybe I could go to one of these shows and I can connect with queer people and maybe even end up on the stage like you have.
Yeah, definitely. Particularly at Seamus, we've had people who have done their first gigs, who are really just very much starting getting into comedy, as well as people who've been going for years and years. So, yeah, I'm more than happy to talk to people at the night if they are interested in it.
Thank you so much, Sam. It's been absolutely lovely speaking to you today. Thank you for coming on Shout Out, and we wish you an amazing few months ahead.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Oh, I say.
That's a bit of a slap drop there,
isn't it?
I'm amazed that you managed to get all the way down there, Andy. It was a curl on the way back up. I was surprised.
Graceful, elegant.
Okay. And
I was talking about you then.
Oh, thank you, darling.
You're welcome.
I was teaching you how to like bend and snap.
I bent and snapped.
Yeah, bent and snapped.
slightly different to my age.
Those bones.
Nothing's getting you straight again.
No, I've been saying that for years.
I really like that song.
That's from The Devil Wears Prada 2, which is out in cinemas at the moment. It's Lady Gaga and Doechii. Is that how you pronounce it?
I mean, I think we needed a queer female representation, and they gave it to us.
Yeah.
Like Doechii, I'm so Doechii glad Doechii's a lesbian. Oh, it's so wonderful.
Yeah.
We claim another one.
Lady Gaga's always been a huge
one. She's bi.
I think she is bi.
Yeah.
This is a huge ally of the whole community.
Oh, yeah.
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 I love a bit of Lady Gaga. Yeah. Lady Gaga. I mean, I don't like her songs, but like I like her as a person.
Yeah, you can respect someone, can't you?
Without, exactly.
Yeah,
is that like Beyonce?
It's exactly like Beyonce.
What are your thoughts on Riri?
I love her. Okay. Like, she is mother.
Yeah, she is.
Like, because the thing is, I think I'm more like Beyonce is like the church version of Riri.
Okay.
Like,
yes.
Riri's like bad girl, like bad, like I will like sleep with your dad and sleep with the son and maybe sleep with the mum.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Beyonce is just like,
okay.
she would take them all.
But not at the same time.
I mean, if the Lord, great Lord allows. But like, yeah.
Okay, this conversation did not go where I thought it was going to go.
Does it ever go where you think it's going to go? Yeah. I've never seen this conversation ever go in that way.
I should know better with you.
Did you see that interview with Lady Gaga where she was talking about how people had accused her for being a trans woman, and she just never responded, and then eventually, and this is not word perfect, but she said, I've got nothing to say really on it because, you know, I think trans people are incredible. And if I am trans, then that's, you know, that's wonderful.
Great
and if
thing.
I'm not, then I'm not. And I'm not going to say anything more about it.
Mm.
Yeah. And I was there's been a few celebrities done that recently. I forget who it was. Was it someone like Jake Gyllenhaal who had a similar thing? I think I'm getting muddled up with someone else, but there was a very famous person. It was like everyone was suggesting online he might be gay.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, why am I going to dispute something that's not a bad thing?
Yeah.
It's like, it's none of your business. I'm not going to tell you whether I am or not.
Oh,
but
it's 2026. Get over it.
It's
people
just
are
wild,
gay.
Isn't it?
Trans people. Just, yeah, it's no.
It's a minority.
It's
a minority.
You can't
ignorant.
Catch it, I promise you. Like,
I've been talking about minorities. There's only one Lara Lalame.
Exactly. Yeah. I know I've always said, and I will say to the day I die, I am so blessed to be queer.
Yes.
Like, I imagine not being able to be in this room or not being able to be at Pride or not being able to express yourself. Like, I feel like some people who are heteronormative are backed up. Like,
scared.
They're like, they don't know
terrified.
The brilliance of like living truly in yourself. If you're a man, you like wearing skirts, wear a skirt. Like, no one's stopping you from doing that, you know?
Yeah.
And these conformity, like, I
look quite good in a skirt.
Yeah.
Oh, well, honey, your legs would be like,
you pull off a kilt rather well.
I do, yes, at Pride every year. My rainbow. Kilt.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love when I see your knees, Andy.
The only time it comes out, show off my pasty white legs. You know.
Yeah. Chicken legs.
We don't get enough sunlight in this country.
We really don't. Sorry, even if we did, would you be any other colour?
Yeah, I do tan.
What?
Thank you.
Slightly more peach.
So that's my husband. He's ginger. So anyway, that's it for this week. If you have an event or a story, or perhaps you'd like to get involved with LGBT+ Radio, we'd love to hear from you, get you involved with the show. Check us out online and get in touch.
Plus, all of our shows are available as podcasts on all good services, as well as our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
As always, we'll be back same time, same place next week. From myself, from Terry, from Ez, from Tara, from Lara, and in the background, the lovely Steffi. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, gorgeous people.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.